This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Okay, Mike Jones of The Athletic to talk about the National Football League. Mike, through three games, just as we thought, the Cincinnati Bengals are in last place. San Francisco is also in last place. Just ho-hum, normal things happening the first month of the NFL season.
Yeah, you know, Cincinnati, we've seen them start slowly the last couple years. I don't know that I saw them being 0-3, you know, when they didn't have that first loss of the season. I was like, oh, well, you know what, it might take them a couple weeks. But here they are 0-3 here. I thought that Monday night was kind of a good opportunity for a get-right game going against a defense like Washington's, which has struggled. But, hey, Washington came out there, and, you know, Cincinnati looked better in some ways, but they still aren't quite right. San Francisco, that Super Bowl hangover is real, man. You know, the teams that lose the Super Bowl, it's, you know, the percentage of them making it back to the playoffs is very small. They had some holdouts. Now the injury bug is really getting them all over the place. It's tough going for some of these teams that we thought were going to be competitors or contenders. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. It's a long season, obviously, but you get in too big of a hole like Cincinnati. I think only one team since 1990 has made it to the playoffs after starting 0-4.
Mike, I want to take you to the Cleveland Browns for a moment. Washington plays them in 2 weeks, but I was really surprised by these comments today by Deshaun Watson. And if he was playing better, I'd actually probably applaud them and love them. But he's stunk, and the team has been bad, so it kind of rubs me the wrong way. He was asked about running the ball more to help out in a rushing offense that's bad. I think they're 25th in the NFL. They don't have Nick Chubb right now, obviously. And he basically said, I'm not going to run. I'm not a running back. I'm here to throw the football. I'm a quarterback. There's kind of shades of like the 2012 Griffin year you and I covered where he hated, like, any time he ran, he thought it was an indictment on him as a quarterback. And like I said, I love that Deshaun's a pocket passer who can be an athlete, and he prefers to be in the pocket. But when your team's struggling and the offense is struggling, it just rubs me the wrong way that he would go, yeah, I don't want to do that other thing. If it makes us better, that's not why I'm here. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, I mean, Deshaun Watson doesn't have a lot of credibility with anything that he says now, you know, whether it's, you know, his play or anything about him. I mean, because he should be happy to be on the field and that a team wants him to try to do something to help them win. You know, obviously, yeah, you would like to be able to sit back and throw, but you have an offensive line that's really beaten up. You don't have, you know, Nick Chubb, a special running back. And if that's what it takes to put you in more third and manageable situations, you know, yeah, you should be happy to run and do whatever you got to do. I haven't heard anybody, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. You think Josh Allen wants to be running all the time? Josh Allen, you know, is out there doing whatever it takes. So I just don't like the attitude, the entitlement. He's talking like he's a superstar, and he hasn't been a superstar in a long time.
Mike, that Minnesota-Houston matchup, I mean, it's 1 week, but it's a referendum league. That I feel like that went a long way to sort of explaining some stuff at how good, maybe bona fide Minnesota is, and we're going to have to take it seriously, and that Houston, still good, but what the hell was that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you went up against a really good defensive coordinator in Brian Flores. You know, he sends a lot of pressure, you know, and he knows how to make very good quarterbacks look very, you know, not very good. And then, look, Sam Darnold continues to prove that, hey, maybe this isn't a fluke. It maybe just took time and him landing in the right situation. I really thought that we were going to see them, the Vikings, really struggle this year. But, you know, they really have a chance. You know, it's a competitive division. Injuries kind of changed some things, but who would have thought that Green Bay would win two games without Jordan Love? So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. And look, I think that, you know, we saw the week before last, Houston, they moved the ball all right, but then against Chicago's defense, they really struggled in the second half. So they have some things they still have to work out. They're still trying to get on the same page, C.J. Stroud with some of his wide receivers and things like that. So I think they're going to be okay, but they've got some things they got to work on to shore up and make sure that he's protected well.
Jonesy, I remember when Matt LaFleur got hired in Green Bay, me and you were on the phone, dude, and we were like, really? Matty's going to get to coach Aaron Rodgers. He's getting like this hallmark institutional organization, Green Bay. And we were thrilled for him because he's the nicest guy in the world. He's the hardest worker in the world. Like, yeah, you could see Sean McVay being a superstar. You could see Kyle Shanahan being a superstar. We were kind of curious, like, all right, let's hope for the best, but we'll see. Matt LaFleur is awesome with Rodgers. He's been awesome with Love, and with Love out the last 2 weeks, he's mixing potions like a high school coach on a Friday night with Malik Willis. Like, Matt LaFleur is a dude.
Dude, Matt LaFleur, his last year in L.A., I was talking to him pregame in the tunnel, and I said, man, like, this is great. You're next, man. And he was like, man, I'm not a head coach. I don't know if I want that, you know. and then he went to, you know, Tennessee, and, you know, I said something to him at the combine. He's like, I don't know. And his first press conference, remember, I mean, how painful that was? And it was still, but this dude, everybody who'd worked with him knew he was really sharp, really smart. I don't know that anybody expected that, okay, yes, you had Aaron Rodgers, but now he has shown he is really good at game planning, really good at X and O-ing, and finding a way to accentuate a player's strengths and put them in positions to succeed. Because, look, I don't know, the Titans thought Malik Willis was pretty bad if they passed up, you know, keeping him to keep, you know, rolling with Will Levis, who is terrible. You know, and they did not see redeeming qualities in Malik Willis. And Matt LaFleur is cooking it up for him, and he looked, you know, like a serviceable quarterback the first game, good game manager. We saw him take more steps forward and look like a competent NFL quarterback this past game. It's just really, like I said, hats off to Matt LaFleur. The guy is sharp. I remember talking to Mike Shanahan about him when he had gotten that job, and he said nobody is more detail-oriented than him, which I thought was crazy because we knew Sean is very detail-oriented, but he really was really proud of and high on Matt's chances of succeeding as a head coach because he saw how much he paid attention to the tiny details when he prepared and taught and coached his players.
Just a ho-hum 674 winning percentage since taking over. Mike, thank you, buddy, as always.
Thanks. I'll see you guys.